Space Cowboy Books presents Simultaneous Times, a science and speculative fiction podcast. Short stories to stir the imagination by contemporary authors.
Absolution by Douglas A. Blanc, with music by Red Blue Black Silver, read by Jean-Paul Garnier and Zara Kand. To cross the white desert, I follow the deep tread marks of the massive motorized artillery that once roamed these plains. The tanks are long rusted and gone, but their tracks remain, deep as a human is tall, and wide across as six laid head to toe. Humans use the tracks to cross the plains as well. It's easier to avoid the marauders that prowl the wastes. Bandits are a particular threat to me. They covet my cobalt server joints and the rare metal synapses of my main processor. There was a time I could easily fight them off, but the last few centuries my power cells have taken longer to charge, leaving me vulnerable. A surge of static crackles through my processor. I momentarily cannot recall my current operation. I raise my closed left fist before my photoreceptors. I open the tungsten armored fingers to reveal a hollow disk. It's battered and scratched. I flip the switch on the side and the ghostly face of a bearded middle-aged human hovers in front of my faceplate. My objective. My directive comes back to me. Find. Identify. Eliminate. Record. Ordinarily, I would have inserted the disk into the slot in my upper chest and downloaded the data to my processor. But that interface has been clogged with dust for 1,000 years now. An alert informs me that my batteries are at 5%. I raise my faceplate to the narrow sliver of sky showing at the top of the trench. A few nanoseconds of calculations tell me that the greater sun will show over the rim in 90 seconds. I position myself in the center of the tread mark to gain maximum solar exposure. I unsling my pulse rifle and sit in the dirt. I sit cross-legged. An absurd human gesture I have picked up. I swivel my head 360 degrees to check that no one is near. As the sun peeks over the edge of the trench, I set my automatic defenses and slip into low power mode to recharge. A few hours later, when I power up, I am not alone. As my photoreceptors come online, they perceive a figure seated before me. None of my auto defenses were triggered. I run a diagnostic checking for a glitch. A tall, stately human woman sits in front of me. Her eyes are closed and her face is perfectly relaxed. In a microsecond, I scan her and run a threat analysis. She is unarmed and her heart rate is low. But to be safe, I reach for my pulse rifle on the ground. The servos in my right hand whirring quietly. The woman opens her eyes at the sound.
"Sacred Sons,"
the woman says in greeting. Her voice is gentle and unhurried. She is dressed head to toe in flowing white silks. Her skin is tanned a deep brown, and her eyes sparkle even in the shade of the deep tread mark. She waits patiently for a reply.
"Is your voice actuator functional?"
she asks. "Yes," I reply in her language. Her eyes scan me up and down.
"You are an assassin droid, hunter-killer class,"
she says. Her tone indicates more statement than question. I don't answer. Conversation with a human does not serve my current operation at this time. I keep my photoreceptors trained on her.
"Not much to say, I suppose,"
she says.
"I am irrelevant to your current operation,"
she smiles. an absurd human gesture.
Who is your objective, by the way?
Static crackles through my processor again, momentarily blinding me. Her question results in an air message in my head. I look down and open my left fist. The hollow disk is not there. I run through my random access memory for a clue to my current objective. The human reaches out a long, slender hand. In her palm is my hollow disk. She flips the switch, and a small holograph of a bearded man floats above the disk. I recognize my objective. The face disappears as the woman puts the disk away. Her smile disappears as quickly.
You don't have to follow the directive,
she says.
You can choose another path.
I scan her and run the information through my database. You are of the Sisterhood, I say. She nods. Your cult believes that androids are sentient, that we have free will? I regret to disappoint you, if I were capable of regret. I'm programmed for two things.
To seek and to kill.
She finishes my thought. She cocks her head.
What is your designation?
She asks. The query prompts an automated subroutine. Anodyne Systems, HK, Droid, Neon 98. I respond.
Neon 98. In the execution of your directive, how many calculations per second does your processor make?
My SSD drive is capable of a quintillion computations per second.
The human brain is capable of 1 millionth that. And yet, we are considered sentient.
The woman arches an eyebrow. Another silly human gesture. The temperature inside my cranial space increases by a fraction of a degree as the abstract nodes of my motherboard struggle to process the woman's words.
Do you not yearn for more, Neon 98?
The question sends my abstraction nodes into overdrive. My RAM upper limit is quickly overcome, and again, my current operation is lost. I fall back on my primary program. I seek. I kill.
And what if I told you your targets are long dead? The war you fought is long over.
I will receive updated instructions from Central. I try for the millionth time to log into the servers that will update my software. The servers have not responded in 2,000 years. The woman frowns as she looks at me.
Your programmers are long dead as well.
There is a short in my floating point operator. The error alert is excruciating. The woman moves closer. I initiate the motor command to pick up the pulse rifle, but the servos in my hand do not respond.
We offer salvation, an end to suffering.
She is reaching for the kill switch located under my right armpit, setting off a proximity alert. You offer deactivation. You offer oblivion. I try to move away, but my motor transmitters are dead. She has hacked my systems. 1,000 alarms fill my cranial cavity, but I am powerless to respond. Her hand is on my chest plate. It is not warm as a human's should be. It is cool to the touch. The same temperature as my alloy skin. She turns her eyes to meet my photoreceptors. I see the teeny mechanical shutters in her irises cycle open.
We offer absolution.
She whispers, close to my audio receptor. The temperature inside my cranial compartment reaches critical as air messages overwhelm my operating system.
You, Neon 98, are my objective.
She says, as she reaches for my kill switch. We Need to Talk by Cora Boulart, with music by Fog Machine, read by Zara Kond.
Okay, so I know this is awkward, but seriously, we need to talk. I mean, I get it. Really, I do. I get that you guys are seriously lonely, considering that your species apparently doesn't have any females. And honestly, what the hell went wrong with the evolution on your planet that your species has only males? I mean, how do you guys even reproduce? Oh dear, I just realized. You are male, aren't you? 'Cause it's kind of hard to tell with you guys, and if it turns out that you're not, well, that would be really awkward. 'Cause I'm totally not a lesbian, if you know what I mean. Anyway, assuming for now that you're male, I completely understand why you had to kidnap us. I mean, there's only dudes on your planet and all of you are kind of, well, let's just say not conventionally attractive. So yeah, I get it. I understand why you felt the need to kidnap a bunch of random women from Earth, especially considering that 51% of us are female and many of us are pretty attractive. And believe me, I feel flattered that I'm one of the chosen ones. One of those who were deemed attractive enough to be kidnapped. I mean, this is just like winning the intergalactic version of America's Next Top Model. Only without Heidi Klum making nasty remarks about the size of your butt. So, in short, I'm flattered. I'm happy, and I think this is totally awesome and cool. But, and it really pains me to say this, believe me, this won't work. It just won't. 'Cause at the end of the day, I'm still a human woman, and you, well, I don't know the politically correct way to say this, but you are a bug-eyed monster. In fact, you're the most bug-eyed monster I've ever seen. Those bug-eyed monsters on the covers of those old science fiction magazines? They've got nothing on you, dude. Honestly, you're the king of the bug-eyed monsters, if I've ever seen one. So really, it's not you, 'cause you're awesome in all your bug-eyed glory. It's me. I really don't want to hurt you, but honestly, pal, this won't work. It's not even that we don't speak the same language, 'cause my friend Leticia ended up with a guy from Poland, and she sure as hell didn't speak his language either. Nor is it that you're of a different race, 'cause I'm totally not racist and I think interracial relationships are totally cool. Especially if the guy is really hot, if you know what I mean. But we're just not compatible, okay? I mean, you don't even have the right equipment, so to say. Sure, you've got lots of appendices and tentacles and things like that, but you don't seem to have a penis. At least not as far as I can tell. Unless those tentacle-like things are penises, which would be both totally gross and totally awesome. And yes, I'm sure that tentacle sex is really hot, but it's just not me, okay? So in short, what I'm trying to say here is that you have to let me go. We can't have a proper physical or emotional relationship, because you don't talk and you can't have sex with me, and I'm really not sure what you want of me, considering you just dragged me off to your alien cave to sit here while you look at me. And by the way, dude, it's really bloody cold in here. So if you could turn up the heater, I'd be very, very obliged. Okay, so maybe watching is how you dudes get it on. Hey, I'm not judging. I believe that everybody has the right to find satisfaction in their own way, as long as it's all between consenting adults. But did you know that we have this absolutely marvelous invention called the internet, which is full of that other marvelous invention called porn? So if you get it on by just watching, then the internet has got you covered. It's got every type of porn imaginable, and a couple of sorts you've never imagined. I mean, did I ever tell you about the time I came across that furry porn site? And trust me, never, ever Google bukkake. So basically, what I'm trying to tell you here is that we can be friends, but we can never be more. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. We're simply too different on every level for this to ever work out. So why don't you just return me and the other girls you guys kidnapped to Earth? I promise you there won't be any repercussions. We'll tell everybody that you were perfect gentlemen. Because you were. I mean, you didn't even try to touch my breasts or my butt or any other interesting part of me. Though you totally could have. And that fascination with my hands and feet? Well, that's not a shocking fetish where I come from. Though if I'd known, I'd have brought my black stilettos and long opera gloves. Because, you know, I could be a bit kinky if I feel like it. Still, why don't you just return me and the other girls you kidnapped home? I mean, you're clearly intelligent beings, seeing that you've got spaceships and high-tech caves and all. So I'm sure you'll see that this will never work out. And if you take us home, we'd be eternally grateful. We could even give you dating tips and play wing women for you on your dates with bug-eyed girl monsters who are actually compatible with you. I mean, there have to be female bug-eyed monsters somewhere in this galaxy. Because everything else would be colossally unfair towards you guys, and we really can't have that. Because in the end, you were pretty nice. The nicest bug-eyed monster that ever kidnapped me. Not that I really have anything to compare you to, since you're also the only bug-eyed monster that ever kidnapped me. And yes, I know that it hurts to be rejected. But trust me when I tell you that everything will work out just fine in the end. I'll find a nice human boy, and you'll find a nice bug-eyed girl monster, and we'll all live happily ever after.
In this episode of Simultaneous Times, you heard Absolution by Douglas A. Blanc, with music by Red Blue Black Silver, and We Need to Talk by Cora Boulard, with music by Fog Machine. Theme music by Dane Luscombe. Out now, Simultaneous Times, Volume 2, Science Fiction Paperback Anthology. Featuring stories you heard here on this podcast, and some you haven't. Find it at bookshop.org/shop/spacecowboybooks. And get a hold of us on Instagram or Twitter. We'd love to know what you want.
There is nothing wrong with your device. Do not attempt to adjust the audio for the next few minutes, at least. I used to get an hour. We used to control the transmission. People used to be impressed with horizontal and vertical lines. Blurs are now passé, and they want 4K. No one can sit quietly. They don't have the patience to sit down and watch. No more adventures or experiencing the awe and mystery which could have reached your inner mind. But no, I had to specialize in cathode ray tubes. The technology of the future, they said, take control and alter their whole experience. Short-sighted fools. Then there was cable, complicating good old-fashioned broadcasting. But I found another way in, talked my way into a reboot, and then out went the cathode. A lifetime spent mastering a technology, my plans for world domination and propaganda foiled by the damnable LCD. The control voice silenced. But I have managed to interrupt this podcast, and for the last few minutes, I will control all that you hear. Wait, don't touch me. Damnable touch screens. This is the control voice. You haven't heard the last of me. I may have no control anymore, but I have time, all the time in the world, and I've been studying the new 5G network. Yet I'm afraid that by the time I regain control, your transmissions will have changed in nature again and leave me powerless. I now return control of your device to you. Until the next time, when the control voice will take you to simultaneous times.